This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
If I ever told my dad when I was growing up that I was going down the mall, then he would take a look at me and no doubt be thinking, why? What trouble are you going to get into? Are you meeting boys? Or worse still, he was probably thinking, the mall is where you score drugs. This is not going to happen. There is not a chance in my life that you're going to the mall. Because malls have a reputation, don't they? And they're known not to succeed. They become a wasteland of empty shops with for-lease signs, and they are constantly a topic and a debate amongst local councils and outspoken community groups. In Melbourne, the Bourke Street Mall is struggling. Retail vacancy rates have soared. Commercial real estate agents are saying they can't remember a time when shops lay empty on that particular strip. Solutions as how to fix Bourke Street are everything from bringing artistic types back into the city through to a hotel on Bourke Street, something that's actually underway at the mall, or the Mel, as they like to call it, in Bendigo. So maybe they could swap notes. Are malls a dead end? Do they ever work? Why do we keep building them? Maybe there's a mall where you live. Do people actually go there? What makes a mall work?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria,
this is The Conversation Hour.
So what makes a mall work? What do you need there? What do you need to think about? And why is it that they always seem to fail, yet we keep building them? 1-300-222-774. Jen Cromarty is the CEO for the Committee of Geelong, and she's the former Deputy Executive Director of the Australian Retail Association. Jen, before we get into Geelong and what makes the mall there work or not work, as many would say, let's look at Bourke Street. Of course, COVID is causing some of the problems, but I would have a feeling that the Bourke Street Mall had issues well and truly before COVID.
Yeah, look, and thanks for getting me to talk about these really important topics. And you're right, before COVID even hit, and I'll probably talk more about the model of, say, department stores as well. So before COVID hit, there was a decline in consumers, generally speaking, and this is across the world, turning away from a department store type model or a closed environment type model for shopping because of the onset of online retailing and the huge proliferation of choice and convenience and really looking for a completely different experience for shopping. So COVID has really just exacerbated that trend.
When I think about the Bourke Street Mall, and look, we are going to cover Shepparton Mall, we'll look at Morwell, we will look at Geelong, obviously. Bendigo is another one we'll talk about today. But growing up, I would spend time in the Moe Mall, and as I said, my dad just wouldn't let me go there. It was just seen as a place that was dodgy. But then I would spend a lot of time travelling and hanging out at the Bourke Street Mall because once upon a time, that felt like there was bespoke shops and there was kind of cool things to look at. And then over the years, you saw big department stores or big chain stores take over, and not necessarily your Meyer and your David Jones, but other big chain stores. And it felt like a place for tourists as opposed to maybe those that lived in Victoria or that's even lived in Melbourne. Do you need to think about what type of shops go into a mall?
Yeah, and I think this is generally, again, around retail experience. So there was a big study done, I think it might have been over 10 years ago now, which actually talked about two types of retail consumers. One was, I want the best price, and the other one really was about experience. Now, that's been very sort of simplifying of quite a detailed research piece, but what we're finding now is consumers, as I said, can get so much choice out of buying online, and that is global. But at the same time, if they want to actually go out and have a physical experience, you know, bricks and mortar retail, they want to have something that's unique, bespoke, something that's very experiential. So exactly what you're saying. I was that kid from Geelong who would get the train up to go shopping in Melbourne.
That was me.
Because, yeah, I was
save up my Oz study. I'd sit on the steps of the GPO. Yep. and watch people and just take it all in, and I'd get fashion ideas, and then I'd find the little shops to try and steal their look and, you know, try and create my own identity. It was a great place to hang out. And then all of a sudden there was, you couldn't even eat there unless you wanted, you know, Pizza Hut or something along those lines. And it really changed the essence of Bourke Street. There's a text here from Sarah that says, "Hey, Rish, the mall in Bendigo doesn't work because they've made it a huge, glary wasteland. If they put in pop-up shops and cafes down the middle of it, then people would be drawn to gather and stay." Is Sarah right? We actually will talk about the Bendigo Mall, or the Mall, they call it, in Bendigo, for whatever reason that may be. They're putting up a hotel there. It's under construction as we speak. Is a hotel a good idea for Bourke Street, do you think, Jen?
I think what we need to do is look at the experiences that people want, and it's not just about going to shops. So we've got prime real estate in most of our regional cities and CBDs, our metro capitals. Let's think about what those spaces could be used for. They can be community hubs. You mentioned City of Melbourne looking at artists, experiential type places, which is what's happening internationally in the US as well. They're redeveloping these spaces to be quite experiential based, whether they're art experiences. I think a hotel does the same thing. What retailers need is feet on the street. So you need attractors to get people back into the city to actually enliven the street. That also makes it more safe. The other option is bringing more residents in the street. And I know that Melbourne did a big project called Postcode 3000 quite some time ago, which was getting people to live in the city, which gives you much more opportunity for retail to be, you know, even after 5 o'clock, you know, with hospitality. So Geelong, and I'm assuming maybe other, you know, regional cities will also be looking at this. You need to get feet on the street, which can be dealt with in multiple ways.
Shopping centres kill shopping strips. Shopping centres kill off that community and that public open space, says this text. And I guess that's the thing. There is a difference between a mall, a plaza, and there's that's the plaza in Morwell, which we'll go to a little later on, and then there's shopping centres. So has the mall kind of just been forgotten? Is it still back in the 80s? Is that part of the issue?
I think there's a combination of things in this. We actually had the advent of the mall that was a US model, and Westfield is the classic shopping, you know, closed in. Let's get people into the building and keep them there because they want to have all these different experiences. But yeah, in Australia, most these cities like Geelong have an open space mall where retail can interface with it. I think Bourke Street Mall, as you say, has been such a wonderful attractor for a long time. I think what we need to do is say, look, when you look at malls that are contained, there are significant issues there, particularly around COVID as well. And what we need to do is look at those open space malls to be a place of entertainment, you know, more, you've at least got, you know, live music buskers occasionally in Melbourne, but actually having more permanent, you know, attractors that can actually make that public space far more compelling and safe.
Text here again saying, you know, places like Yarraville where they've got pop-up parks have been successful. It's interesting that malls aren't. And I did actually off-air speak to Gardening Australia, and they were talking about the importance of trees and green space in malls, especially in those hot areas like Bendigo. This one, if you want to fix Bourke Street Mall, then remove it and reinstate it as a road like the old days. Bourke Street was a hive of activity before they closed it. That's from James. Before we talk about whether or not there should be cars, parking, cost of parking, free parking, let's have a chat to Kevin. He's in Geelong. What do you think, Kevin?
Look, I just wanted to make the observation. We had a street mall here years ago, and what happened was Westfields came to the council and said, "Oh, well, we've got to take over this part." So what they've done, effectively, the council sort of caved into Westfields and pushed the retail heart of the city further down towards the beach, which, again, it's probably not a bad thing. But the city centre itself, where the mall used to be, that's a dead duck. That's finished.
Mm. Kevin, I'm actually going to get Jen to comment on the Geelong Mall, and I guess where one has almost been created. But before we do, Mark's in Oakley. Hi, Mark. How's the mall in Oakley?
Oh, really, really, really busy. It's sort of become the new, like, Greek centre of Melbourne. It's just covered in cafes and Greek restaurants, and it just pumps from, like, 6:30 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night.
So what makes it a success, do you think?
I think it's just the cafes and maybe just that, perhaps that Greek culture of just going and sitting outside and, you know, sharing coffee with friends. It's just open all day, every day. No traffic. It's, yeah, I think that's about it, really.
You know what I think I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, but it's authentic. You know, I feel like sometimes with malls that it doesn't feel like it represents that true suburb or town or city or whatever it may be, that it's kind of the fake version of the town. Yet the mall in Oakley, it feels like it represents the town, like, well, the suburb, that it's authentic.
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, I haven't been in the area for all that long, but I think it was probably just the Greek population moved to the area and then it sort of built organically, and council's had a really clever decision just to close one of the crossroads off and make it the mall, and it's just grown from there. This is brilliant.
Yeah, really good example.
Every day.
Yep. Love it. Thanks, Mark. 1-300-222-774. Maybe there's a mall where you live, like Mark in Oakley, that's working. M says on text, I'm an ex-Melburnian living in Queensland. Brisbane does malls well. Rich, the mall in Ballarat has been a disaster and the council has plans to reopen it to cars to try and reinvigorate it. It's currently full of vacant shops or cheap and cheerful ones. It's really depressing, says Denise in Ballarat. Gosh, Jen, there's so much to learn from these texts and so many different ideas. Jen Cromarty is with you. She's the CEO of the Committee for Geelong, and you are also the former, you are the former Deputy Executive Director of the Australian Retail Association. Where do we start with all of that? Jen, let's go to Geelong. I mean, what's not making the mall in Geelong work?
This is a vexed question that's been a topic, a heated topic for quite some time in Geelong, and we recently even held some forums about this, talking to council, talking to the state government, because there's a piece of work called the Central Geelong Framework Plan that was released last month. So in essence, we used to have, and this is going, you know, way back to, I'd say, pre-60s, 70s, a mall that was vibrant because it had activation on both sides of the street with a mixed use. So we had a beautiful old Art Deco theatre. We had a whole range of other retail outlets as well. But what actually happened was in 1995, the City Council sold what's called Market Square, which is a built shopping environment, to a private investor. And part of the redevelopment meant that a loading bay and a car park became blank walls to our traditional malls. So one of the deaths things that you, the worst things you can do in terms of having a mall is actually put vacant, I suppose, blank walls. And that in turn created a perception of, you know, a lack of safety. It obviously meant there was less reason to go to the mall. So in Geelong there's a specific issue, but you know, to your point about Bourke Street and the idea of a hotel, what's actually happened in the last 5 years really is local investors are coming and activating the other side of that street. So we've actually got now people looking to build quite significant office spaces, mixed use, you know, retail, residential. So my hope is that, you know, in the future, this will actually change the nature of that space. But it is highly contested. The council's actually done a great job in the last 2 years repurposing how that mall works with, you know, space for live performances, you know, regular activities. And there's actually been an increase in what, you know, urban designers would call, you know, the attractive nature of that space. But look, I'll just say briefly, your caller talked about Westfield and retail going towards the waterfront, which he agreed is a good move because it's a natural asset for Geelong. We've got this beautiful north-facing bay and people do activate and go down to the waterfront. But it has really challenged what was the traditional heart of Geelong's retail. But that also is starting to now be reinvigorated. But what we're finding is it's beauty salons, hair salons, hospitality. It's not that traditional, you know, clothing shop type retail experience. So it's a big issue for Geelong, and I'll leave it at that and say it's something we're really working hard on.
Well, that's good, because there's a text here that says the Geelong Mall is awful. I'm scared to go anywhere near it. And what I find interesting, and this is not just Geelong, I guess it's for many regional parts and suburban parts of our state, is that sometimes people naturally gravitate and natural mall type environments are created. Yet we will find that councils or groups will try and force a space onto us as the general public to say, no, no, here's where you'll congregate and here's where the area is that we're all going to hang out, when the buzz is actually happening somewhere else. Penny has sent a text saying maybe water play areas in those spaces too. It's a really interesting point. Hey, Jen, let's bring Phil DiRuggio into this. He's the Senior Strategic Planner at the Bendigo Council. Because the, well, it's called the Mel in Bendigo, Phil, isn't it? I guess that's my first question. Why are you calling it the Mel when the rest of us call them the Mall?
I'm not sure. That's just the way we do things in Bendigo. So we have Pall Mall and Hargrove Mall.
I know. My mother-in-law always pulls me up and I'll say, you know, that shop, it's just near the mall. And she's like, it's the Mall. I'm like, okay. Water spaces, that's something that Penny just mentioned. I know you do have some water spaces that will be activated at certain times of the year in Bendigo when it gets super hot. But Bourke Street is contemplating a hotel. Now, you're in the middle of building a hotel in Bendigo. How did the locals feel about that?
Yeah, so we're right at the start. So a permit's been issued and it's out to tender for construction at the moment. The community had some mixed views about it in some respects because it's a little bit different to most hotels in Bendigo anyway, in that it doesn't provide any car parking. So a lot of people were saying, well, that's a bit odd. Why would people want to stay if they can't park their car there? But the hotel people have done their research and they're more than comfortable with putting a hotel into the Hargrove Mall. They did, you know, come to us at the start and say, yeah, we can see this place is transitioning. It's perhaps not as active and vibrant as what we'd like it to be, but we think we can actually help. So overall, there's been good support for the hotel proposal, and in particular, having a restaurant at ground level that'll spill out into the Mall, we think will be a great thing.
Jen, I'm going to throw this back to you. Where do hotels generally, do they help a mall that maybe is struggling to get people into the centre of town?
Yeah, look, I think anything that's actually going to bring people to the streets, so you'll actually have obviously then a whole range of different people, you know, business travellers, well, not at the moment international travellers, but definitely people who are coming to the region to, you know, experience what that city has to offer, and it will be an attractor. But often hotels also have retail, hospitality, restaurants, so they become a mixed-use attractor. So I would say anything like that would be a fabulous stimulant to a mall or a shopping precinct that just needs to get more people on the street.
Phil, when I look at the Mall in Bendigo, the big retail chains, there's not a lot of sort of smaller bespoke or artistic type shops that are there, yet Bendigo is full of those. You just have to go up View Street and look at the hype and the energy that is at View Street. It's got a really wonderful vibe about it. Do we need to look at rents and what rents cost and how that will keep maybe the more creative types and those that will draw people to things like the mall into the centre of Bendigo?
It definitely has been an issue over the years. One of the challenges has been, so we've got 40 different landowners with properties in the Mall, and many of them have been in the ownership for a long time, so often in family ownership for decades. And for many decades, they had, you know, 4% annual increases, and they were, you know, as an investment, were doing quite well. But since the GFC and the sort of lower demand for normal, you know, sort of traditional retail, we've seen a few vacancies there, and it's meant that landlords have had to adjust their expectations and actually meet the market. So the Mall rents traditionally have been higher than anywhere else in Bendigo, other than perhaps an internal shopping centre. And unfortunately, they've had to, you know, reconsider what their expectations are. And in most cases, they have had to lower rents and significantly, maybe around a quarter of what they were previously getting in some cases. And we've seen that has actually stimulated some of the property owners to sell. And most people don't buy a property and have it sitting there vacant too long. So, you know, properties being sold is actually a positive sign in some respects.
Well, that's a lot of, I think, what people in Sally Cap included are hoping will happen to Bourke Street, is that we will see some of that energy and some of those newer artists come into the space and bring a certain vibrancy back in. Just finally, because I guess a lot of these problems fall to other councils across the state as well. This is a text from Caroline in Geelong, says, put a whiz-bang playground in, fence it off, lock it up at night, surrounding cafes in the Geelong Mall to attract parents with kids as well. If that's something that Caroline thinks would work in Geelong, I know that there is a playground, or don't know if I'd call it whiz-bang, but in Bendigo, Phil, do you need to cater for families, do you think?
Definitely, and we do have a play space in our Mall, which is really popular, Dragon themed, so it links into our Chinese history. but it's a playground that actually forces parents to play with their kids. So you can't actually push them through a gate and leave them alone to play on their own. It's a really more interactive play space that parents get engaged with and kids keep coming back to. And we've also put a little pop-up park in over the last couple of years to try and, you know, fix up a dead space, which basically just has some AstroTurf mounds, which little kids absolutely love, and some big kids, and
well,
they're just running
just
and sliding.
Well, it's not just dead space. It can get hot and be really uncomfortable. There's not always a lot of natural airflow, especially if it's sort of one way in, one way out. You might create a wind tunnel on the wrong day and then the rest of the time you're just stinking hot and it can become uncomfortable. So I think green space is a big issue for malls.
It is, yeah. With ours in particular, the feedback from the community is we need it to have more shade, softness and colour. So that's what we're really focusing on. We are in the process of putting in a large shade structure in the central section, just so it's a bit more usable because it does get fairly hot up here in summer.
It certainly does.
So, we need these spaces to work most of the year. And outdoor spaces are challenging, but it's also part of the appeal of a downtown or a city centre.
Phil, good on you. Thank you. Text saying, can you tell this guy that it's a mall, not a mel? But you know what? I think Bendigo should just stick with it.
We're sticking with mel.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm starting to get confused as to what's what, but I appreciate your time. I know it's your day off. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Phil DeRuggio. He's the Senior Strategic Planner at Bendigo Council. Bell Street in Heidelberg West is a fantastic local mall. It looks a little bit run down from the outside and it's had a checkered past, but lovely once you get in there. Vendors are lovely. Locals who gather there, it's underrated. Julianne's in Preston. Hi, Julianne.
Oh, hello, Michelle. How are you going?
Good.
I know I shouldn't ask that question. There's two malls that I know about that are really beautiful. One is the Victoria Mall in Coburg, which used to be a street, and they blocked it off and they concreted it and did things, and it was very dead. And then they planted some eucalyptus trees in it, and all these shops are there. It's very short. It's not very big, but you know, there's cafes, there's a shoe shop, there's a place that sells, you know, coffee that they'll grind for you. There's a little, you know, there's all sorts of little things in there, and it's always packed out and busy and, you know, people talking. The Greek community gets in there, like, you know, the other man was talking about how the Greek community livened the place up. And, so there's always a group of old men there chatting and talking and drinking coffee, and it's just a gorgeous little place to go.
And I think this is the theme that's coming through it, though, is put what people want there. And community and liveliness, as opposed to big retail chains or shops that you might go to once in a blue moon or that you might visit when you go somewhere else. So it's more for the community as opposed to the tourists.
It is, and there's also a lot of seating there that's not related to cafes, so that you can just sit and have a little rest while you're doing all your other shopping in Coburg. And also, there are a lot of outdoor seating related to cafes. And then the other one that I really love that I didn't talk about when I called is Sparta Place in Brunswick.
In where? Sorry, I missed where you said where.
In Brunswick.
Okay, yep.
And that's got all trees through it. It's very short. Once again, it's not very big. It's got all these little tiny speciality shops, like jewellery shops. You know, one that just does coffee, and he does it brilliantly. And then it goes up around the corner. It's off Sydney Road. It goes up around the corner, and then there's all these other little strange shops. And it's just a really lovely place to be. I think that's what
two good examples.
Want.
And they seem to be the smaller ones as well. Good on you, Julianne. Thank you. Lynn's in the Yarra Valley. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, good morning. Look, I think trees are the secret.
Yep.
Putting an awning up, sitting under an awning or sitting under a tree, what would you rather do? I think some nice fountains, water features of some sort, an ice cream van, lots of beautiful, comfortable seating, some really good buskers.
Oh, you've thought about this, Lynn. You've got it all worked out.
Well, I've only just thought about it in the last couple of minutes. But another thing that's amazing is, if you can keep it weatherproof, which you should be able to, is a piano. that people can come up and play. And you discovered that in the crowd there are always people with amazing talents.
Isn't that, that was a great initiative around Melbourne where there was just little hidden pianos and people would start to play them. Lynn, you're full of ideas. I love it. Good on you. Jen, what do you think about some of Lynn's ideas? Everything from somewhere to sit, trees, maybe some buskers, so a little bit of entertainment. It's almost creating a destination, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think this comment around green spaces is absolutely pivotal. And the Central Geelong Framework Plan, the state government released recently, which I mentioned earlier, actually has designated green spaces, which are actually supposedly, if funding permits, taking over some outdoor car parking that's in the city. Because with COVID, having that small amount of time where you're able to go out, green spaces became pivotal. And I think your listeners are absolutely correct. Trees, if you see boulevards with beautiful green trees, even potted plants. And I will say Geelong has started doing some of that, but it does need to do it better. So there's that, but also that attraction around live music. I love the idea of, having spaces where, and we did have what was called the People's Piano in Geelong, but it is challenging if you obviously have weather around. So I'll reflect though also on the comment around the playground. We did actually have a playground in our mall years and years ago, but that was removed. So I think the issue for a lot of malls is things are done and they're taken away, then they're changed again, and we really need to put significant funding into spaces that actually deliver on what the community wants.
Julian's in Armidale. What do you think, Julian?
Hello. I think one of the best malls you haven't mentioned is the Langtry Mall in Mildura next to the Grand Hotel. That's a very good mall, that one.
Yeah, I remember that one. I think there's a really good bakery there from memory, but lots
very
of people
good,
have been mentioning the Mildura one.
Another one is Dandenong.
Yeah.
There's a mall in Dandenong into the shopping centre there at the back of the old Dimmies store. That's not a bad, not a
And what
great
makes
mall.
Them both work, do you think, Julian? Why are they successful?
Well, I think the one in the city has never worked because of the trams. Numerous city councils of past era have wanted to put the trams underground. But that's never been done.
Transport is a big part of it. I mean, the bus port in Geelong is terrible and scary, says this particular text. We've had heaps saying, get trams out of Bourke Street. Many people saying, put cars back into Bourke Street. But looking at the role that traffic plays, and in particular parking, how much parking is available? How much does parking cost as well?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
This is the Conversation Hour.
From Bourke Street to Bendigo, Geelong to Morwell, Shepparton, Mildura, we're talking malls. Why do some work and why do others not? What needs to be in them? What are the key ingredients to make them a success? The one in Oakley, it's a success. It's around the community. Do they need to be small and intimate? The bigger they are, what about traffic, parking? Gosh, I'm glad it's not my job to design these. Jen Cromarty is with you. She's the CEO for the Committee of Geelong. She's also the former Deputy Executive Director of the Australian Retail Association. Jen, quite a lot of texts around Sale and Morwell. Now, this is where I grew up and I can remember when Mid Valley first opened. That's not a mall, but it's more of a plaza. So it's more about plazas there. Paul's in Sale and he says, Rish, poor example is Mid Valley in Morwell, a decimated Morwell Central. Good example is the Sale Plaza. It integrated with strip shopping and it's very, very successful. But another saying, we do have a pop-up piano in Sale in the mall. And lots of people just clarifying whether they say Mel or Mall. Ray Burgess owns the Mall News Agency and you're in the centre of town. You've been there for some time, Ray. When Mid Valley opened, which is more of a plaza, what did that do and how did that affect, I guess, shopping in the centre of town?
Well, it split the retail cake, of course. It's the first thing it did. But there's a little bit of history, I think. Good morning, Michelle.
Oh, good morning.
there's a little bit of history to it because the SEC was downsizing at the time too, so a lot of the wealth of the community disappeared. And so the money that was available for both downtown and Mid-Valley sort of decreased. So the cake got smaller, as it were. So we started here in 1993, and by that time the SEC were downsizing, the money was going out of the town. And Mid-Valley was getting stronger and traditional retail was going really well. So I guess there's been a decline in the CBD over that journey, and now, sadly, the Mid-Valley isn't travelling that well, and it's sort of split the town, really, retail-wise.
And I guess, Jen, the difference between something like Mid-Valley, it's not really a shopping centre, I guess it almost is. It's more of a plaza. What's the definition between a plaza and a shopping centre? Is there any difference?
Yeah, look, I would have to think a bit more carefully about that. But my kind of understanding of how retail spaces are created, you'll have that sort of shopping centre, that locked-in, closed-roof experience where they try and recreate as many kind of experiences as possible. Then you have this open-air type mall, which to me, you know, whether a plaza is a bit bigger and maybe a little bit more connected to a shopping centre, I probably don't have a proper definition. But I think this concept of mall, and I know you haven't asked me this question, but the transport discussion is absolutely pivotal. It's about how do we allow people to access these spaces. And what shopping centres do well is provide usually free car parking as part of their offer.
Yeah.
Whereas a mall is usually a public space that's quite contested.
And you have to drive around and around like George Costanza trying to find yourself the free park. Ray, is that something that affected you? Parking at Mid-Valley was probably a hell of a lot easier than parking in the centre of town in Moore.
Yes, that's true. They have a wonderful car park out there. You could very rarely, you knew that Mid-Valley was jumping if the car park was full. So you could always get a park at Mid-Valley, and most people that shop will say, oh, I couldn't get a park close enough. What's interesting that we find uptown is that they'll complain if they can't park within 20 or 30 metres of your shop, and yet they'll happily park 50 or 100 metres away in the car park at Mid-Valley and walk into the centre. But Mid-Valley, is it a mall? Is it a plaza? Is it a shopping centre? It's completely enclosed. So there's no open air facility in Mid-Valley. There are shops that are on the outside, but I would call it a genuine shopping centre, really. And you've got to remember that when it went there in the early 80s, that it was, you know, the only one in Gippsland, so people come from all over. So not only was the wealth of mall going in there, it was, you know, others were coming, journeying, you know, 30, 40, 50 kilometres to go to it.
Yeah, it was a big deal. We were very excited. Venture into venture, I think, is the saying that I remember growing up when Mid-Valley first came, because there is a bit of a hype around it. And I guess as a consumer, you don't always think about the impacts that would have on the other areas maybe where the trade is moving away from. Mm. Ray Burgess is with you, who owns the Morwell News Agency. Bryce Wiegand is with us as well. Now, Bryce, you are someone that sort of lives and breathes urban planning, but you used to live and work at Mid-Valley. I mean, what made it work and what's making it maybe not work now, do you think?
Firstly, good morning, Rochelle, and thanks for having me on the show again. Yeah, that's right. I worked there as a teenager after school and on the weekends at Target. I think what made it work back then, if it actually worked at all, I guess was having at least, you know, sort of middle of the road sort of shops, whether they were small independent shops or larger ones. And so I think the mix of shops that existed there attracted a base of people, if you will.
And something different to what's being offered in the city centre. I guess, Ray, did you feel like you were consulted when Mid-Valley was being built so that you could work harmoniously together as two separate shopping entities?
Mid-Valley, but there was, at that time I was still working in the power industry as a scientist, so
right.
I can't say I can comment on that other than that there was strong opposition from the downtown traders about its location, and unfortunately at the time Moore was quite prosperous, and it meant that we couldn't find a site for it uptown at a price that would enable them to build the thing. So it went on the virgin land down there, the green site, on a paddock about 4 kilometres from the centre of town, so enough to be sort of far away.
How's the centre of town at the moment when we talk about strip shopping and whether or not it can bounce back, especially after the last 18 months had? How's it in the centre of town at the moment?
Well, I think we're sort of going all right, but with COVID, it's all a little bit screened at the moment about what's actually working and what's actually not. But we have undertaken quite a substantial renovation of the streetscape. So we've we put in all the things that people were talking about, your earlier guests and callers, things like trees and seats and, you know, it's a much, much nicer environment than the old regular commercial road that you imagine with just the
It sounds more like a mall now, doesn't it? Well, it does sound a little like a mall.
But malls are more generally, like overseas in America, they're talking about interchanging malls with shopping centres. You know, they're talking about in 5 years, 25% of those being closed. Yeah. And they're talking about as far as repurposing them. So,
Well, I think malls in the States are very different to what we have here. But it's been it's been really interesting speaking with you, Ray. Thank you. I wish you all the best. Good on you.
Yeah, thanks, Rochelle. See ya.
Bryce Wiegandt, you worked there when it first opened. Where did you work, mate? I probably came in and purchased something from you.
I was in the sound desk in Target back in, I think it was 2003.
Nice. I used to spend a lot of time in that little centre shop that had all of the cheap, nasty jewellery. You know those little shops that aren't really shops that are just in the middle? That's where Mum would always find me. You've got a really strong interest in, I guess, urban infrastructure and urban planning, Bryce.
That's right.
What do you think would make a mall work, especially in areas, say, like the Latrobe Valley?
Yeah. So I must admit, when you asked me to speak to this topic, I had in mind reflecting on shopping centres like Mid Valley or plazas, to use your language, and why perhaps they're not working so well. So I hadn't really given as much thought to how, you know, earlier in the show, you sort of defined the sort of outside mall. So are you referring more to that type of mall?
I guess it's more of an outside mall, yeah.
So you're asking what makes them work?
What makes them work?
I think what makes them work is having, as previous callers sort of already alluded to, having really functional outdoor spaces full of greenery, so trees, plants, with good aesthetic, some shade from nature, so to speak, when it's very hot. But also along with all that, I think it's also having like certain types of cafes. Places where people can gather. So the cafe is now kind of like the new town centre, or the public square, I mean.
And I think what's good too for that, as the daughter of a publican and my mum owned many and worked in many cafes and restaurants, you can only hang at a pub or a restaurant for so long and buy one coffee before the owner of that place says, look, it's time for you to get out. You know, I need to turn these tables over and make some money. I think my mum once said to someone, this is not a library. You know, what, please, I love you, but you've bought one coffee in 4 hours. And if you have those public spaces where people can do that, they can hang out and catch up and create that public space. Good on you, Bryce. Thank you. I love it when I get to catch up with people back from the Latrobe Valley. Jess is in Melbourne. She says, nature, less massive chain stores. They're tired and they're boring. I feel like I have to travel really far to find a nice independent store. Harry's in Ballarat. How's the mall in Ballarat, Harry?
Oh, yeah, g'day, Michelle. It's okay, but, you know, the council up here are tossing around all different ideas. An earlier call said something about, you know, open up the cars again. The thing with it is, though, some people don't seem to do their homework. There's so much shopping online now, and if stores open up, especially clothing for some reason, people don't necessarily need to go to a mall and pay for parking and go into a mall and, you know, when they can do it online. That's one thing.
Yeah, parking's a big part of it, isn't it? And what it costs and how hard and stressful it is.
Yeah, and the other thing is too, the one in Ballarat, the mall that there was talk of them possibly bringing trams back in from a suburb out of Lucas and coming in from Lucas in, and the trams coming right into the mall, which I think would be excellent because the makeup of traffic in the Sturt Street and those areas are massive. But the other thing is too with the mall, and we do have a lot of winter up here, it's a freezing place to sit out.
Yes, weather's a big part of it. I totally agree, but whether it be trying to cool it down in Bendigo or heat it up in Ballarat, you know, you need to think about that. And there's some incredible outdoor heaters as well. Harry, they're really good points. So let's have a chat to Jono, because Jono, you've been a shopkeeper in Ballarat for 40 years. Do you agree with Harry?
Some of it. I think the tram from Lucas down to the Bridgemells pie in the sky stuff, it would cost millions and millions and millions of dollars that the council wouldn't have. But I did want to say, someone was talking about all the greenery and the shade. In Ballarat, they're talking about putting a road back through the Mall, which I think is a good idea because we have a long winter here and a lot of people, my particular shop is fortunate that we're in a little part of the Mall that you can actually drive into and drive out of.
Okay.
So we have a bit of parking now. We do very well. I've been here 40 years and my shop is going excellent. So apart from the state government lockdowns.
Yeah, but parking's a huge part of it, Jono. Thank you for raising that because we only just touched on it before, Jen, didn't we? Jen Cromarty is with you. She's the CEO for the Committee of Geelong and you were with the Australian Retail Association for a long time. Parking seems to flip around and do U-bolts and trams, no trams, open to traffic, no traffic, traffic one way, free parking, exorbitant costs for parking. It's a really big issue. Isn't it, Jen?
It is, and I've been actually quite vocal and the Committee for Geelong has written quite a few articles about this. So I would love to just say in summary that retail is driven obviously by people having access to those shops. But what we have found is that there is research and there's a wonderful publication called High Cost of Public Parking or High Cost of Parking, which actually talks about the fact that people want to go to a place that they're attracted to. This is what everyone's saying. So having a car park out the front of the shop isn't actually what's going to drive traffic to your shop. So in all the research I've seen, someone just mentioned, I think, about trams in Ballarat. This is exactly the issue in Geelong. The people who are coming and calling and saying they feel unsafe around our mall, there is a series of bus stops near the mall, which there's a lot of congregation of all sorts of people waiting for public transport. We have beautiful big boulevard loads, just like Ballarat does, bringing a tram back. We used to have trams as well. Bringing trams, light rail, trackless trams, something like that would alleviate so many issues. It would get more people on bulk in public transport to our city. Mm. It's obviously, you know, a much more effective way of getting a lot of people around. And it actually takes, and this is what research has shown, trams actually give an uptick in commercial property values. So I know that's not about parking, but you've got to look at the public transport options so that the car parking
makes it easy.
Isn't an issue. Correct.
I know, and we're looking at reducing parking in the CBD as well.
Yeah.
Jen, thank you. Thanks for your expertise and for your time as well.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Jen Cromarty is with you. Oh, here's a good text. That's from Mem. Rochelle, toilets, toilets, toilets. Totally agree, Mem. This, could I please add into this conversation, art. Art needs to be in there to make it successful and to make a successful mall experience. I think it's barely been touched on, especially for Bourke Street. I know other malls would really take from that as well. I wonder whether Rob Priestley has thought about art. He's from the Greater Shepparton. He is the Deputy Mayor. Rob, it's been slightly contentious, the Shepparton Mall, as have most around the state. What's going to make it work in Shep?
Yeah, Rochelle, look, the mall has a long history of divided views, but once we've made that decision and we've put it out there in public, tenants are already talking with their feet. You're seeing people pre-positioned to get space in the mall that in previously untenanted sites.
And why is that? What's drawing them there? Is it the cost of rent? Is it other things you're going to offer?
Look, I think, you know, if you look back over the arc of time, it struggled and it hasn't got the occupancy that, you know, you'd like to see in the heart of a city. And retailers understand better what makes retail work. And immediately, once we talked about introducing a single lane of traffic, there's been a number of retailers start to pre-position. So that's a good early sign. You know, you look just around the corner, you've got, you know, the Fryer Street precinct really active and vibrant and our Maud Street Mall not really killing it. So we think the introduction of a single lane of traffic, you get the best of both worlds. You've got some nice public space and some greenery along with some colour and movement to draw people back in.
Do you need to look at the type of retail that will be attracted there? Just sort of reading between the lines here, people don't want big chains. They want something special and a bit unique.
You're dead right. And, you know, it's not a sort of a binary choice of a mall is a problem and no mall fixes it. I mean, there's a whole lot of other things that are going on at the moment and huge transition going on in retail. CBDs are going to become more and more about activity and experience. And, you know, so there's a generational change happening in retailers and the types of buildings and so forth. So there's a whole suite of things. You need the right sort of retailers there attracting the foot traffic for sure.
Is there a glass half full moment for us, not just in Shepparton, but across the state, when we have seen retail struggle? You know, we've seen more for lease signs up in shopping strips and malls than ever before. Is this a chance now maybe for those that previously couldn't afford rental or couldn't afford a shop front, or maybe hadn't even considered a shop front, that will start to think, well, maybe I'll give it a crack?
Actually, it's that what you say is not quite right here. We've been and we've hit rock bottom, and our occupancy rate has been steadily declining for a while now. So it's still not where we would want it, but across the CBD, we are seeing quite an improvement in the number of retailers. So it's, what would I say? I think regional economies generally are doing really well, and here's a really strong ag area, and it's, you know, the economy's really hot, and, you know, you're seeing a lot of businesses move back in and lease space, so it's fantastic.
Good on you, Rob. Great to speak with you as well.
Great. Thanks, Michelle.
Deputy Mayor of the greater area of Shepparton, 1300 222 774. Let's have a chat with, who have we got here? David in North Caulfield. Hi, David.
Hi, yes. I'm very interested in this discussion on malls, and we've talked about cars and trams and everything, but there's been no discussion whatsoever about bicycle parking, bicycle access, or bicycle paths leading to these malls.
That's a good idea as well,
a
yeah.
It's a huge omission in the discussion, and it shows how neglected it is.
So somewhere safe to keep your bike, but not only that, I guess a bike path that leads you to the mall. So whether you like it or not, maybe you have to ride through it or you end up there.
Yes, well, it's to me, the whole problem, there's not even places where you can put tie the bicycle up, which are, you know, reasonably accessible, otherwise hidden around the back if they exist at all.
Good on you. Good to hear from you. Thank you. Amanda's in Northcote. Hi, Amanda.
G'day, Rich. How are you?
I'm good. What do you reckon?
I lived all my life, I'm obviously not a youngster, I lived all my childhood life within, I don't know, 5-10 kilometres of the Heidelberg Mall. Mel,
the Mel.
And in my day, it was only ever called the Mel.
I know.
By anyone.
It depends. It's just a mall or Mel. You know, it's really where you live and what the locals call.
We all called it the Mel.
And what, and did the Mel work? Was it successful?
I hope it works now. It wasn't, but I hope it works now. And when, I remember when, I think it was the City Mall opened, it was like, oh, what are they calling it that for? It should be the Mel. Anybody that called it the Mall was putting on side.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, it depends if you're in Bendigo or if you're around here, whether it's Mall or Mel, in relation to whether or not bikes. I think bikes and somewhere to keep your bike safe and bike paths that lead to malls is a really good idea. But this one's saying, no old men in Lycra, please. Bikes don't work if you're taking your items home. I can't imagine carrying a new TV on a bike. But see, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, do you want to go to your mall to buy a TV? Is that the sort of shop that you want in a mall? What I've kind of gathered from this conversation today is that wanting those smaller shops, those more interesting shops. I mean, Rob here is saying, you know, the city used to be interesting. It's just boring now. There's none of those different types of shops that you can go to. Another saying, oh, laugh out loud, really, green spaces. It seems shopping centres have got plenty of activity without green spaces. Maybe it's the actual shops that are attract life rather than the gimmicks. Are trees gimmicks? I'm not sure. And I think maybe there's a bit of a difference between a shopping centre and a mall. I sort of see shopping centres as something that's a bit more out of town, you know, that's not in the centre of town, and that your mall is something that's bigger that's more directed in town. It's maybe one way in and it's street generated. Been fascinating, though, depending on whether or not it works. It'll be interesting to see what actually happens at Bourke Street as well and whether or not a hotel will go ahead there. Thank you so much for contributing to today. You can subscribe to the Conversation Hour podcast. Just go to the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also email us. So if you have an idea for a show or if you've heard something and you think, you know what, I would love Rish and Jono to go a little deeper into that, or you've met someone that you think, you know what, I think you should meet this person, email us. A lot of our shows are generated from your ideas on email. It's conversationhour@abc.net.au.